Bunker, Robert J. Matthews Memorial Bunker in Warsaw, near Warsaw, Indiana, out here in the country where the wolves and the deer run. Yeah. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker. And don't forget, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your snail mail and your donations for the radio show and donations for other projects. And I sent out two books. I've had that book I read out of yesterday, Portal, the Journey to San Cristobal, and by George Steiner. And you can get it from Abe Books for about $4 or $5. And I sent one out to Matt Hale, and I sent one out to Dennis Mahon down in Kentucky. So anyhow, that was our prisoner work for yesterday. We're pretty well caught up on the financial aid. Some of them take a little longer because some of these state prisons have some weird regulations to get even to get your money orders in. And if you don't cross every T and dot every I, they send it back and say, "Do it again, dumbass." Well, it's a cool day, but a nice day here in the Midwest. Yeah, real nice. And, I got to go out and get my eyes examined today. About once a year, I get them examined. I don't think they're quite as good as they were last year on looking down the road a ways. But we're going to check it out today and see what's going on. Last time around, I got a set of those bifocals, and I tried that out about 30 years ago, and I didn't like it, and tried it out again, and I still don't like it, so I had to go back to regular glasses. Well, there's a call on here. I think I'll try to put it on the show. I'm going to take it off a small speaker here on this telephone answering device, so if it's a little scratchy, well, you know why. But it sounded pretty good to me. Guy's thinking. The guy is thinking.
Hey, CG calling from out in Northern California. I caught your show last week where you were talking about the, you didn't call this, but the psychologist called it the false memory syndrome or symptoms, where the users, I think it was the Navy, was doing a test on people to find out if they could implant or, like, trick these guys into believing they had false memories or altered versions of their memories, and the interrogation survivors Bible stream, and she didn't mention it, but I've heard, or had this thought before, that Jews could be angling for a defense like this if and when it's ever proven conclusively that there were no genocidal gas chambers in the concentration camps. And this thought first occurred to me a few years ago when I saw this movie from the Israelis called Dancing with Bashar. And it was a cartoon movie that was distracting. It was supposed to be innovative. And it was about this guy having memories of the Israeli raid on Lebanon in 1982 and blah, 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 blah. And anyway, he's talking to his shrink buddy, and they do this whole little, you know, vignette on memory and how it's possible to have false memories. And when I saw that, I thought, ha-ha, they're angling for a defense in the future for all these Holocaust survivors to say, well, we, you know, we remember what was put in our heads later after the fact rather than what we actually experienced and saw with our eyes and ears. And that's why we were lying for all those years. It gives them a convenient out. You see what I mean? And, what else? I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about, but I'll try to keep it short. You also put up a link to a guy who on YouTube who goes by the name of Barbar, which is short for Barbarossa, and he just, I checked him out, because he was a guy that was talking about women, you know, like women's equality being all up front, and it's all bullshit, and, you know, it's proven by the fact that they don't want to go into the military, at least on the front lines, and which I think is mostly true, actually, but this guy's whole website and reason to be seems to be to say, Joe sucks women. They suck. That seems to be his whole point in life. But he is very brilliant. I think he sounds like he could be Jewish. He's very intelligent. And like you said, you take good info from wherever you can get it. And he seems to be saying basically that mankind is on the cusp of a new, basically what happens to gender roles in society mirrors, in the 20th century, mirrors what happens with the advent of technology and the Industrial Revolution. And basically, those who don't want to get with the program and the way it is are going to go the way of the Luddites. And you know, like the example of, you know, like some Amish person who's going to die because his religion forbids him to get a blood transfusion. But I would say beware of him because he could be a false flag operator trying to promote division amongst white men and women. And I think in order for us to make this thing work, we need white men and women to cooperate with each other and not bitterly hate and resent each other. Basically, Northern California calling back. I got cut off. I'll just keep this real short. I didn't realize. White men and women see each other. We don't need to be on each other's throats. So be careful with these. This guy, Barbarossa, that you're putting on your website. Even though he's really smart and he says a lot of things that resonate, just, you know, don't take him too seriously. And last thing is on terminology. I know you don't like the term white nationalist. How about this white liberationist? It's got a left-wing kind of sound to it, doesn't it? That's exactly what we're trying to get. Is liberate white people from beneath the iron heel of, well, you name it. But like you say, the Jews are the second biggest problem facing the white race. It's white division and disloyalty and lack of unity that is our number one problem, and that is what has caused everything else. Whatever the Jews did or didn't do to us would not have been possible if we just stuck together like everybody else. Look at the blacks. They stick together. Black men, ecologists, and all the way in the cookie jar up to the shoulder, and the community rallies around him and says, nope, he's innocent, he didn't do it. Well, we need to do that. That's how we should be thinking. Anyway, that's it, 14-5, and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Well, yeah. you got to understand something out there, boys and girls. I put a lot of stuff on here, but I'm like a surgeon. I go out, I cut it up and bring it back and put it on. That does not mean in any way I endorse everything the person says or endorse even their websites and stuff like that. But what I do, if I see something that's got some merit, I go out, I'm a hunter-gatherer racist, and I bring it back and drag it back into the bunker and put it on a radio show. But, you know, I get this quite a bit that, well, did you go up and did you hear what he said about this and that and this and that? Well, I didn't put what he said about this and that on there. I just put on what I thought had some merit. And I do think there's this overdoing the female so-called rights, and forget rights anyhow, their privileges, whether you're man or woman, the ruling class gives you the privilege. So if women are privileged enough, then they could blame the system. Mainly they could blame religion and churches, because churches put white women, probably all women, in the back of the bus for a long, long time. I mean, really, really in the back of the bus. In pagan times, in heathen times, in Northern Europe, the women had a lot more power in the tribe, from being the people that were into curing people of diseases and everything else. So they, women were very important, and some fought in the army, and some of them became warriors, famous warriors, like in, I think it's in Dara, and back in the Viking days. But you, if you want to know why Christianity, or why women are in the back of the bus so much, and have been in the past, is straight out Judaism and Christianity and Islam. Anything that came out of the Abrahamic religions put women in the back of the bus. And since Islam is the most longest lasting or whatever, I don't know, but anyhow, the point is that they really put women in the back of the bus. And but I'll tell you one thing, on television, when the news talks to people, notice that almost all the time the woman does the talking. Now, that's a pretty good idea what's going on here. Now, I think women should have the opinion right along with the men, but why are the men just cowering down and not saying anything and women doing all the talking? Now you're seeing it more and more on the news, where more and more news anchors are women. I mean, it's fine to have a balance, but there's some kind of reporting that men do better than women, and some kind of reporting women do better than men. But the pendulum has swung too far the other way in some ways, and it's mainly because of capitalist, predatory capitalist people wanting to make more money by getting the higher-paid man out of the job and putting the lower-paid woman in. They've made billions off that. So, oh, hell yes, we're for female rights. Come on in here, baby. You're going to be working for, you know, $5 less an hour, you know. Oh, I'm so happy to be liberated, though. Yeah, right. The capitalistas love that. You know, in the morning sometimes I'm having a cup of coffee or some other beverage, not liquor, no, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching this C-SPAN. I don't watch it very long because it drives me nuts. And I look at all these bureaucrats and they're always on there blabbing, and half the time you can't understand what the hell they're saying. What the fuck is he saying? What the fuck is she saying? They talking Washington legalese. And there's millions of them. If you want to know what the worst corruption in a government is, it's a bureaucracy. The bureaucracy stays, you know. The presidents come and go, even the congressmen come and go, but the bureaucracy stays there. I want to tell you my theory, and I think it's a fact. If Washington and all the congressmen and all the senators and all the bureaucracy one day disappeared through whatever means, whether it's maybe Jesus Christ come down and took them because they weren't doing right, but anyhow, they're gone, this country in a few weeks would be running fine. The states would reassume their position as we had in the early part of this country. The people would rally around in the states, tribalistic type and the whole bit, and this country would be running fine in a couple of weeks. If every goddamn congressman, senator, and bureaucrat, military industrial complex, if they all disappeared one weekend, everything would be fine in a couple of weeks. I shit you not. See, the honest people of our forefathers were against federalism. Federalism's what killed this experiment. And calling it democracy is a bunch of crap. It's never been a democracy. That is a big joke. I still hear guys on the radio, we're losing our democracy. Democracy is a failed system. It always was. The first democracy over there in Greece fails very shortly. They don't last because the people are lazy. The people won't participate in their own future. They won't. They just won't. I mean, they just keep listening to the same old crap, even though they know it's all lies. They know most of what's on TV. I mean, I could go down here and have a drink at the local lodge, and these guys know that it's all screwed up. They know that. They know it's corrupt. They know it's criminal. They know all that. But that's as far as they go. That's as far as they go. It's only the 1% that change things. The 1%. I heard somebody sort of putting down Might is Right, the book. Well, it's a little extreme and strident, yeah, in certain areas, but you pick out of it the logical stuff and the stuff that works, common sense stuff. But we need that kind of talk. We need heavy-duty, forthright people to get angry and talk like it, say the things that should be said and not cower down, say. Show most people the Might is Right. Oh, my God. Even show a lot of the racial people. Show them Might is Right. Oh, my God. Did you hear what he said about killing people and what he said about Jesus? Oh, my. What a bad book that is. We should burn that book when, in fact, the book you should be burning is the Bible, the Bible. One of the most pornographic, genocidal, corrupt books that's ever been printed. I mean, I hear them on, you know, out here nowadays, and I listen to these preachers a little more now because just to hear the bullshit they're putting out. And around here, all these preachers are talking Old Testament all the time. You know, it used to be mostly they talk New Testament. That means we're getting closer to a total Jew mind control takeover. They're teaching out of the Old Testament all the time. And I hear some of the craziest damn stuff. I mean, they're talking about Jacob wrestled with God. Yeah, this Jewish God, Jacob, they wrestled all night because Jacob wanted God to give him a favor. And that was what it was all about. And they was all sweaty and everything. And in the morning, they ended their fight. God wrestled with a man all night. That's as bad as a Jonah. Well, Jonah and a whale is more believable than some kind of a God. But I did, in reading that book, as I did yesterday, the one thing got come through to me, the genius of the Jewish conspiracy is that their God, you can't see, they didn't have pictures of him or anything else, and that gives them power, and that's what I'm saying. You have more power by the unseen, and the unseen Jew God is their great power. No pictures, no statues, nothing. He's out there. He's the boogeyman. And so I said, the genius, like in Apocalypse Now, Marlon Brando, the genius of that. The genius. Whereas our people, we believed in mythology. We liked mythology, and we built statues to these gods and all that kind of stuff. And there's probably a few people around that actually believed it. I don't think most people ever believed it. I mean, but that's more honest. And it's more worldly, too. You put a statue of the ideal Aryan man up like the Greeks did, and you admire that, and you aspire to be that way. Same way with a woman. But the Jews were very clever. They created their own God and their own image and made him invisible. The boogeyman, the kite boogeyman's going to get you. The genius of that is something else. And they found out it worked so well on their own people that they said, hell, let's sell this to other people. Or the other people said, hey, that's not a bad idea. Let's take part of that Jew shit and we'll build another religion, only we're going to make it bigger and stronger, and we're not going to, you know, we're going to go out and recruit everybody we can, and we're going to cut their heads off that they don't join. Yeah, that's what we'll do. But you're never going to see a god. We're not going to make any picture. Well, we do, we may have a statue of Jesus, but only Jesus when he's hanging on the cross dead in a doornail. Yeah. Not much to aspire to. Not much to aspire to. Well, I'm testing here, and I hope I've got this recording, because I don't see it up on the top of the recorder. Oh, 23 minutes into the show, 23 minutes and 36 seconds. Well, I'm going to go ahead and complete this damn thing, and if I'm just talking through the to the dog here, I guess that's the way it's going to be. Well, I think Craig Cobb has conjured up some Aryan gods against the state of North Dakota. Let's listen in and see what's happening up there.
Looks like we're in the nasty weather. 25 before the hour. North Dakota officials, according to TVNewsLies.org, North Dakota officials are reporting the biggest find yet in that state of illegally dumped radioactive oil field waste. With all the money these filthy, stinking fossil fuel companies are making, they don't give a... They just don't give a goddamn. They don't care. This is what it says. Officials in North Dakota are reporting what may be the state's biggest incident of illegal dumping of radioactive oil filter socks. Just like socks on your feet. Those are the nets that strain liquids during the oil production process. State Waste Management Director Scott Radig said... Hundreds of the tubular filters were discovered last week in an abandoned building in Mooney, North Dakota, a town of about 200 people. Radig, the state waste management director, reviewed pictures of the scene, said it's likely to be more than twice as large as the state's next largest dumping incident found last month in McKenzie County. Hey, all you North Dakotans, this is how your fracking oil, or not, your oil pumping, filthy, stinking companies repay you. They dump this stuff And, of course, it gets in your groundwater and into your children's little forming testes and ovaries, all your little girls and boys, so that when they go to have children, they will give birth. Then girls will. Maybe the boys will, too. There will girls that give birth to an 8-pound, 9-ounce eye, which will be blind. This is how they pay you back. Filter socks. Are banned for disposal in North Dakota. Oil companies are supposed to haul them to approved waste facilities in other states, such as Montana, Colorado, and Utah, because those states allow a higher level of radioactivity in their landfills. Oh, this is so fun! Isn't this fun? As Pat Robertson would say. State regulators and law enforcement officials are investigating, according to the State Waste Management Director, Scott Radig. He said the filter socks found in this little town, Moonin, population 200, the socks have been tested and show low levels of radioactivity. Well, that's good news. Hey, all you folks out there in Noonan, North Dakota. Pretty soon, you're not going to need any electric lights at night, because you all will glow in the dark. Russia.
Let's go down to West Virginia and see what they're doing to our race down there. You know, West Virginia is pretty white. North Dakota is pretty white. You guys are always talking about blacks and Jews and all that. Well, how about these capitalist, predatory capitalist oil companies and all these people? What about what they're doing that's killing white people? In fact, a lot of this stuff's probably killing a lot more white people than the blacks ever did.
The Senate to me is from Yes Magazine, dated Saturday, March 1st. And the headline is, West Virginians raise alarm as research links coal mining to cancer and birth defects. And it's a fairly lengthy article, not overwhelmingly so, but a couple of quotes. Mortality rates attributed to kidney, respiratory, and heart disease are significantly higher in Appalachian counties with high levels of coal mining compared to non-mining areas, according to a 2009 study. Here's another paragraph, sentence. Cancer is a particular culprit. A study that compared two West Virginia communities, one with mining and one without, found that self-reported cancer rates were twice as high in the mining area. In areas where mountaintop removal, rates of lung cancer, bladder cancer, kidney cancer, and colon cancer, along with blood cancer, leukemia, are all higher than non-mining areas. These findings control for other risk factors like smoking and socioeconomic status. And then, of course, there's COPD. And then there's birth defects. I mean, Jesus, God, why do the citizens of West Virginia allow they and their neighbors and their kids and their grandkids to be murdered by the coal industry?
Mark, it is, and I'm not trying to be flippant when I say this, it is our heritage, if you ask some people. It is our heritage to be killed by the coal industry in West Virginia. Just this evening on the program, we were going over some fatalities from 1896 in West Virginia coal mines, just as part of the supporting argument that nothing changes here.
Mm-hmm.
It just broke my heart reading it. One of the fatalities was a 12-year-old boy who was run over by a string of laden coal cars. He was working, it was his job to work in the coal mine and open the trap doors for the mule drawn train. And they said he fell asleep on the tracks, and they just ran over. There's over 100,000 people dead in this state in service to the coal industry, which is, of course, in service to the larger profit-generating industrial revolution. But it turns out all of those things that you were reading about in that Yes Magazine story, and we've talked about this in the past, all of those science studies are the underpinnings and the foundation of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, which is still waiting in the House of Representatives. It's been introduced, and we're knocking on doors desperately trying to get it introduced in the Senate in this Congress.
Mm-hmm. What about locally? What about the Virginia, West Virginia, what do you call it, House of Delegates, or is it something, is it Representatives?
House of Delegates.
Right. What is the reaction of Democrat and Republican on the level of government right there in West Virginia?
First of all, we have to have a vocabulary word. We don't have Democrats and Republicans in West Virginia.
Okay.
We have Colocrats and Colicans. And what they do is they engage in this, if it weren't so horrifying, it would be funny, game of trying to out-fawn each other with regard to the coal industry.
Mm.
They bow and they scrape. And the best example of that is this laughable joke of a bill regarding chemical tanks that came out of the legislature. They literally didn't make it, because people were worried about what would happen to the coal industry.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I have to drag out my hillbilly accent for that, because that's what it sounds like on the floor of the West Virginia House of Delegates.
Yeah, yeah. Where do those delegates live?
They live, some of them live near mountaintop removal operations, some of them live in very nice, I mean, they're in very nice places to live in West Virginia.
Oh, I know. But the entire ecosystem of West Virginia feels the effects of this, doesn't it?
Sure, and the water poisoning event is a classic case in point. The reason that that at least got a little bit of traction was because the people who control the state and the people who control the money were actually impacted by this. It wasn't like somebody up a holler somewhere who breathed toxic mining dust 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Hey, Bob, hold on. First break here. Let me put you on hold, and we'll come back and pick it up right there. We're talking with Bob Kincaid from Head On Radio Network. Stay with us. Although Bob has more class than I do. He doesn't cuss. Well, not on the air, not the way I do. One of the most, I forget where we were. Let me drop this in just for a second. One of the, this is according to the piece at Yes Magazine, the report. It says, one of the most stunning findings of recent years, the risk of birth defects in areas where mountaintop removal coal mining is prevalent is significantly higher than in non-mining areas, according to a study published in 2011. The study looked at two periods of time, 1996 to 1999, during which risk was 13% higher in areas with this type of mining, and 2000 to 2003, during which risk was 42% higher. Six of seven types of birth defects, including circulatory, respiratory, central nervous system, and gastrointestinal, were significantly higher in areas with mountaintop removal. This, again, is after controlling for other factors. It's just one of the most depressing sets of statistics in this article. It's nothing that we don't know. It's nothing that you haven't educated me and a lot of people about. But it is still horrifically depressing is not the right word. It's shocking. I guess that's a more appropriate word.
And Mike, it gets more so when we put it in, I guess, more human terms, because statistics are shocking and can be frightening even.
Right.
But out of that study, here's one of the little data points out of that study. You can assume for a moment two mothers to be.
Mm-hmm.
One of them lives in a mountaintop removal community. And she's doing everything that we want a new mommy to do. She's eating right, she's taking care of herself, and she doesn't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you've got, and we'll call her Bad Mommy. Bad Mommy doesn't live in a mountaintop removal community and smokes like a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mommy who's doing everything that we want her to do has a 141% greater chance of giving birth to a baby with respiratory birth defects than the woman who doesn't live in a mountaintop removal community.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When those...
And this is,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say this was just all part of a pattern. Coming out of the West Virginia water disaster, you know, there was 300,000 people who got their water poisoned, and the state government grudgingly, in the last waning minutes of the legislative session, decided to put together a scientific panel who would try to look at what the long term effects are going to be of poisoning 300,000 people. Because we're not going to know for 10 or 20 years until the cancers start blossoming. And if you consider that that's 10,000 gallons of poison in a water supply, compare that with the reality of the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone of West Virginia, Western Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, and Northeast Tennessee, where, with reference to West Virginia, there are 116, I believe, or thereabouts, open, unlined, massive seas of toxic waste. In excess of probably 100 billion gallons.
It's inconceivable.
One dam alone holds back 10 billion gallons.
You know, when you and I talk about this, or when I hear you talk about this on your program, or when I read something where you met with members of Congress to work for the AIC Act, I just wonder sometimes if these numbers or the potential here for death and disease are so overpowering that it causes people in the state. Your state, I don't know about the other ones affected by this, but your state, to just kind of throw up their hands and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I know that's the attitude that my generation, I'm older than you, but maybe you have the same idea. That's the idea that I developed as a teenager. We're concerned nuclear destruction. I understood that the Soviet Union and the United States in a nuclear exchange would wipe each other off the planet and destroy the planet. And I knew that that was a distinct possibility, and it was so horrifying, I just didn't pay attention to it until in the 80s, and I read Jonathan Schell's The Fate of the Earth, and then I became conscious of it again. So I'm just wondering, do the residents of West Virginia feel so overwhelmed with this information that they feel they're just hopeless or helpless?
Some certainly do. A large number, however, will tell you, if you ask them privately, they'll say, well, we know the coal companies mean us no good, but you'll pay a terrible price if you say anything about it. And then there are those of us who are constantly aware, and it makes for some long, dark nights with the soul might. My wife and I have had long and painful conversations because we made a conscious decision to raise our family here, not knowing about this. And then we learned, and we asked ourselves, what have we done to our own family? And the thing is, if you do start dwelling on that, it will drive you mad. And you either retreat into a world where you focus on Dancing with Stars and what funny doo-doo child's up to, or NASCAR, or whatever your particular opiate of the masses is, or you get out there and you get in the streets and you get active. And unfortunately, there are far fewer of us in the streets than in the seats.
You made a statement. I guess it was on Melissa Harris Perry's program on MSNBC. When we were in there a couple of weeks ago, and you made the statement about if a bunch of terrorists had dumped this poison into the river that flows through, does it flow through Charleston?
The Elk River flows into the Kanawha River right at Charleston.
Right. If a group of terrorists had dumped this poison into the Elk River, the entire federal government would have been activated, there would have been troops called in, there would have been a hazmat people. It just would have been the population down there would have increased by about 20,000 as all these people rushed in to save West Virginians from this act of terror. same event occurred without terrorists, except for this chemical company, and nobody does anything. How is that possible? I think about these 238 souls who are lost on this jetliner someplace in God knows where, and that's all we hear about. And you know, may they rest in peace if they're dead. May they be found if they're not. But dear God, when we have a situation like you have in West Virginia, there's no attention paid.
During the vast majority of this crisis, at which I would add, and you'll be one of the few people who are pointing it out, this crisis, which is not over, we couldn't break through the Chris Christie ceiling.
Yeah.
300,000 poisoned Americans couldn't break through the discussion to read any newscast because Chris Christie was sucking up all the oxygen in the room.
Yeah.
It's absolutely maddening. And the fact of the matter is that reference to terrorism, the part that drove me crazy, is that nobody, or relatively few people, had to be poisoned. The whole system could have been shut down on the order of the government.
Mm-hmm.
But and few people know this. The water system was never shut down, right? Never.
Mm, Jesus God.
And I have occasion to be in Charleston from time to time. And, you know, usually wandering through, getting a, you know, carton of a flat of water, carton of pop, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those weirdos who stops and talks to strangers. I can't help it.
Right.
So I'll see somebody in the water aisle at Kroger's, and I'll say, are you drinking the tap water? And they look at me like I got six heads, and they're like, no, are you crazy?
Yeah, even now.
I'm not drinking that stuff. Nobody's drinking it. Mm-hmm. Restaurants are putting up signs on their walls saying, we wash our, you know, we prepare our food with bottled water. But even so, the entire infrastructure is still contaminated. Still, right now.
Well, yeah, and will probably remain so. I would imagine, Bob, not being a hydrologist or an engineer or chemical engineer, your entire system down there has been poisoned, and. You know, I don't know how you all manage, like you said a minute ago, to keep your sanity. Bob, hold on just a second. Let me take a minute.
Hearing from the family of a Northern California man accused in a terror plot to attack the L.A. subway system. Federal agents arrested him near the Canadian border and say he was trying to get to Syria. CBS2's Brittany Hopper is live at a metro stop in North Hollywood with more on the arrest and reaction. Brittany.
And Pat, this is the affidavit that shows the threats made against the Metro. Now, it was an undercover agent that helped catch this case.
But he's not a terrorist. He's not evil.
A mother's cry saying her son isn't a threat, but federal court documents say otherwise. 20-year-old Nicholas Toussaint was charged today with attempting to provide material or resources to a foreign terrorist organization such as Al-Qaeda. We talked to his grandmother by phone in Northern California.
He did join something, a Muslim or something religion. We were really surprised about that and not happy about it.
The FBI says Toussaint discussed a number among them, a plot against the L.A. subway system last New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Court documents show Toussaint texting this to a friend. Don't go to L.A. anytime soon. Please trust me on this. And if you do go, don't use the subway. Documents say Toussaint is a student at a community college in Northern California and a member of the National Guard, but is being discharged. According to the documents, last spring, Toussaint posted on social media, don't get me wrong, I despise America and want its downfall.
I just believe that he got mixed up in the wrong crowd.
Now, if Toussaint is convicted, he could face up to 12 years in prison. We are live tonight in North Hollywood. Brittany Hopper, CBS 2 News.
Well, I hope that was loud enough for you to hear. I couldn't get it up any higher, but that was a arrest of this young white guy in L.A. for an alleged plot on the streetcars or something, subway attacks or something. Another guy that somebody got to and set him up, probably the feds. So there you go. Watch it out there. They're everywhere. Well, I hope that this serves you right. Roy Ortiz, an illegal alien, Mexicano, is suing the firefighters who saved his life. An attorney for Ortiz recently filed court documents related to the incident, which occurred last September. His client was trapped in his car during a flash flood on U.S. 287 in Colorado, which means he tried to go through one of those damn low spots in a road or a creek or something, and he got caught because he's stupid. The Ortiz lawsuit names first responders from the Boulder County Sheriff's Office, Westminster Dive Team, as well as North Metro Fire Rescue District firefighters. On September 12th, a vehicle driven by Roy Ortiz flipped upside down after being washed off the roadway by rushing flood waters. Okay, according to the court documents, it took the firefighters about 2 hours to rescue Ortiz. The man is now claiming that the North Metro Fire Rescue District was negligent in their duties because he should have been extracted from his car more quickly. Ed Fritz, Roy Ortiz's attorney, had this to say about the firefighters' lawsuit during an interview with 7 News. Of course, he was thankful because those divers did have a major role to play in saving his life that day. That doesn't negate the fact that a mistake may have been made. I can understand why there's a lot of furor over people thinking that he's biting the hand that feeds. Does that mean that officers of the North Metro Fire are above reproach? Well, let's talk for a second about the divers. If the divers went into the water in an attempt to locate Roy and they didn't see him there, as dangerous a job as that is, and we're thankful for first responders, that was a mistake. And the legal term for mistake is negligence, okay? Ortiz claims that he still suffers from shoulder pain and is seeking $500,000 in damage. And he'll probably get it, because they wouldn't want to offend a illegal alien. The fact that the flood victim is an illegal alien has become a major part of the highly controversial lawsuit. Of course it would. In fact, they should take any money he's got on him and throw him back across the border. During an interview with Gretchen Carlin of Fox News, Ed Fritz became visibly irritated when Carlson posed a question about Ortiz's residency status. After several minutes of banter, where the attorney repeatedly insisted that even if his client is in the United States illegally, it has no bearing on the lawsuit, Carlson, realizing she would not get a straight answer to her question, told the audience that during a commercial break, the attorney stated that Ortiz had indeed broken the law and crossed the border illegally into America. Brzezut did not correct Carlson after she made the statement. Those who support the first responders who risked their own lives to save this worthless piece of Mexican crap, Roy Ortiz, have asked if the flood victim will be arrested for breaking federal law. Why is Ortiz suing the firefighters who rescued him from probable death? Quote, well, I'm happy. I'm really happy to be alive, but I'm looking for some help with my bills. I don't have the money to pay, he said. And you know what? You'll probably get it. You'll probably get it from those whiny-ass crybaby, sympathize-with-everybody Christian Zionist types. Or maybe even a weepy atheist. Well, the old... This goes along with the last story. The mestizos in California finally made it, man. Mestizos become California's largest demographic racial, though political clout, though their political clout lags. This month, mestizos will make up 39% of most populous U.S. state but the group still struggles to convert numbers into results at the voting box. Well, isn't that something? Well, don't worry. Mostly the Democrats are going to be working on them real hard, but now the Republicans are going after their ass, too.
We want you to join us, Jose. We need you to make America what it was meant to be, a race-mixed, polyglot garbage can.
Well, I see the CIA is very busy because Venezuela's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and you always know where the CIA's at when any country starts falling to pieces. Well, we got a race mixer here from Diversity Incorporated. He says that 45% of the New York City 8th graders got into top-tier high schools, but only 5% are black and 7% are mestizo. Why is there such a large diversity gap in elite schools when New York City is one of the most diverse cities in the world? Well, how does that extrapolate to the schools, just because there's so many diverse people there? It might mean that little Pedro and little Amos and Andy may be stupid. What do you think about that? Well, guess what? Master Kerry was on. Master Kerry, Secretary of State, was on the television a little while ago, and I happened to turn it on. I was having a sandwich, and there he was, talking to students about their concerns. And one question was, there seems to be a sort of a pervasive fear in this country. And he says, oh, Americans are not afraid of anything. And then he went on to give the biggest bunch of bullshit I've heard in a long time to these students. And it's unbelievable. It's like these guys, like Kerry's living on another planet. I mean, you'll go out and do something and cause people to die, and then he says just the opposite when he gets on the stage. These people are unbelievable psychopaths. By the time he got done, I think the students wanted to drop a net over that old bastard, because he wasn't making sense. The guy asked a simple question, which is, yes, there is fear all around the country, because how do the people get afraid? The government and people like Kerry make them afraid. Well, we got to nuke the Russians again. Oh, yeah, well, but we're not afraid of anything, but we may have to nuke the Russians. Well, let's have some relief here for a change. Let's go back and listen to what Patrick Henry had to say a long time ago.
Here I would make this inquiry of those worthy characters who composed a part of the late Federal Convention. Sir, give me leave to demand. What right have they to say, we the people? Who authorized them to speak the language of we the people? Instead of we, the states. States are the characteristics and the soul of a confederation. If the states be not the agents of this compact, it must be one great consolidated national government of the people of all the states.
Peering 200 years into the future, Henry predicts what Washington, D.C. ultimately becomes and at what price.
Besides the expenses of maintaining the Senate and other House in as much splendor as they please, there is to be a great and mighty president with very extensive powers, the powers of a king. He is to be supported in extravagant magnificence, so that the whole of our property may be taken by this American government by laying what taxes they please, giving themselves what salaries they please, and suspending our laws at their pleasure. I might be thought too inquisitive, but I believe I should take up very little of your time in enumerating the little power that is left to the government of Virginia. For this power is reduced to little or nothing. Their garrisons, magazines, arsenals, and forts, which will be situated in the strongest places within the states. They're 10 miles square, with all the fine ornaments of human life added to their powers and taken from the states, will reduce the power of the latter to nothing. Henry.
There he was, Patrick Henry. He was a real hero back then. Wanted the Articles of Confederation. Didn't want any of that federal shit, man. He wanted to stick with the Articles of Confederation. And the rest wanted to go federal, and you see what that got us. It's time to go back to the states. But to get back to the states in that kind of a situation in Confederation, you're going to have a Civil War revolution. You know that. Yes, sir. Well, that's about it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Wotan's Day. Yeah. The difference between us and the Christians is we like the idea of Wotan, and we like the mythology of Wotan, but we don't worship Wotan. Right? 14:5. And remember the white liberation struggle. How do you like that? And Might is Right is still pretty damn good.
Bunker, right here in North Central Indiana, transmitting to the world.
Be a fit that reader.
is Terrible Tommy. Tom Esther.
Terrible Tommy.